Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And good evening, and it's Christine James again here with Kevin Tachi, doing a little cross-fertilization here, news and talk, because we're running a political forum tonight. You just heard part one. That was the 5th Plymouth District. Took a quick break, and we're back with the 10th Plymouth District. Kevin Tachi's in studio with me, asking questions as well as Charles Matthews said. Now, if you are not familiar with the 10th Plymouth District, that is, as we said before, Brockton, Ward 4, that's precincts B and C, Ward 5, precincts B, C, and D, all of Ward 6, precinct 1 in East Bridgewater, and all of West Bridgewater. It's an open seat. We've got, vying for that position, we've got the Republican, John Cruz. Thanks for joining us tonight. And we also have Democrat, Michelle Dubois. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to stick with the same format again. We've asked the candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. They can be as short as you want, but no longer than about 2 minutes. Your answers, if you can stick to about a minute, our official timer had to leave because he's only, what, a sophomore at BC High, and he had to go home and do some homework. So we're going to try to keep it a little bit more loosey-goosey, but stick to about a minute. You see me giving you a high sign, it means just get to the point. We did invite the independent here tonight, but I believe he declined.
He did decline via email that he don't want to be a part of
the
process.
All right, so we're going to have the Republican and the Democratic candidates. Now, just a few moments ago, out of the official newsroom, Koozie, we pulled the order of the opening and closing statements. We're going to begin with John Cruz, then go to Michelle Dubois, and we're going to switch that order at the end. So let's say good evening to everybody, and let's start with our opening statements, and let's begin with John Cruz.
Thank you, Christine, Kevin, Charles. I want to thank everyone here for allowing us tonight to basically go through this job interview, and that's what it's all about. Hi, my name is John Cruz, and I'm a candidate for state representative in the 10th Plymouth District, consisting of the towns of West Bridgewater, East Bridgewater, and the city of Brockton. I'm running for state representative to fix a broken Beacon Hill. I'm tired of the excessive taxation and spending up there. One-party rule does not work. There are no checks and balances. It doesn't work in government, and it doesn't work in business. I've been running my own small plumbing business for the past 23 years, and it doesn't work. Now a little bit about myself. I've been a member of the West Bridgewater Fire Department for over 30 years, and I'm currently the chairman of the West Bridgewater Board of Health, vice chairman of the Housing Authority, and as I mentioned before, I own a small plumbing business, Consolidated Plumbing, where I not only sign the back of a paycheck, but I signed the front as well. As you may remember, I served as your former state representative where in just my second month in office, I averted a payless payday for the city of Brockton employees by working with Governor Weld to extend a $6 million local aid advancement. For the town of West Bridgewater, I secured library reimbursement money 6 years ahead of schedule. And when the Plymouth County Fire Chiefs approached me, I secured $35,000 for new radios for the Plymouth County Fire Towers. As your next state representative, I will fight for more local aid to ensure our children have the very best education possible. As a call firefighter, I'll work tirelessly for public safety dollars. I will be the people's choice on Beacon Hill against excessive tax increases. Together, we can move the 10th Plymouth District forward. And I thank you for listening for this debate.
Thank you very much. That is Republican John Cruz, his opening statement. Now let's go to Democrat Michelle Dubois.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to each of you and for allowing me to talk about the policies with the folks listening at home and those watching on cable access television. So my name is Michelle Dubois. I have been a city councilor, an elected city councilor in Brockton for the last 9 years. So that means I've been reelected 5 times, overwhelmingly by Brockton families. I'm a working families candidate. I have really fought for people at the city level and worked with our state delegation, meaning our state representatives and state senators, to pass and draft and get support for important legislation that protected single-family homeowners and the residents of the district. I fought to make sure our community is safe, and to both health-wise and environmental-wise. I have really been an active participant in making sure that residents' voices are heard, and at the State House, I'm going to focus on those quality of life, working families issues. So I'm going to make sure that West Bridgewater and East Bridgewater are able to send their children to kindergarten and preschool without paying $3,000 a child. I'm going to make sure that Brockton has after-school programming and that education funding is increased. These are my priorities. Children are the future of our community and our should be our number one priority. So on November 4th, I ask that you vote for Michelle Dubois, me, because not only if you have my back on November 4th, I'm going to have your back every single day at the State House. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Michelle Dubois. She's the Democrat running for the 10th Plymouth District. Let's go to questions now. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates.
Michelle, during your five terms as a city councilor, name and describe a city issue that you were the clear leader from beginning to end to find a resolution, and what was the end result to solving that particular problem?
You know, there are so many issues. I've really been an active participant in the city council. One that I talk about and people seem to really identify with is when a single mother of three children came to me with a $100,000 water bill that she had tried to get corrected. Now, this is an educated woman who works full time, tried to get corrected for 5 months through the city and was getting nowhere. I was the only city official. First, I did due diligence, and the people at City Hall, especially the head of the DPW, said, oh, she owes the money. She owes the money, $100,000. It's ridiculous. And I got the city council, I led the city council to demand an independent audit of the DPW. That independent audit found more than 80 irregularities on how the DPW was processing bills and capturing bills. I ran workshops to help people to appeal their fraudulent water bills, got those bills corrected, and then I wrote legislation that put in consumer protection so this type of thing cannot happen again. So from beginning to end, I help identify the problem. I help galvanize grassroots effort to make it so that city people in power couldn't ignore these residents. I went to meetings with the DPW and residents. One senior citizen, her husband had just gotten his leg taken off. He was a veteran, and he was having some real health issues and was in the hospital. I went to that meeting with her and helped her get her bill fixed. And not only did I do that for her, I did that for many other people. I want to be a hands-on state representative and do these types of things at the State House.
Thank you. That was Michelle. Same question for John Cruz.
No, actually, mine for John is you held this office for one term in the 1990s and then lost the seat. How has the political climate in the district changed to where you feel a Republican can once again hold the seat?
Well, if you look at the demographics of the district, it picked up some part of East Bridgewater, which is a little more conservative as opposed to the city of Brockton. Yeah, I did win it back in 1990 under conditions that are far greater than what we have today. I mean, back then, I was the first Republican to represent the seat in over 50 years. And at that point, it was very fortunate that I did win to assist the city of Brockton in numerous ways. Back then, if you recall, we had issues with the solvency of the city of Brockton. I mean, I mentioned in my opening statement, you know, I averted a Payless Payday. I was the one that the mayor and chief financial officer came to requesting a local aid advance. And without that, it's plain and simple. The city wouldn't have received money for payroll, and that's pretty much what it was all about. Otherwise, it's a larger district in terms of the population increase.
Okay. Charles Matthews, and questions for the candidates. Yes, I just spilled water again. I'm sorry.
Yes, we have an issue with water in the studio tonight.
It's just too riveting for me. I just can't stop spilling water. Sorry. There we go.
That's great.
And I didn't do it on the candidates. Sorry. There we go.
Okay, the proposed gas-powered power plant is in this district in Brockton, and I believe you both oppose it. What could you do specifically as a state representative to stop it? Michelle?
As state representative, I plan on putting serious teeth in the environmental justice policy. Right now, there's a policy that was enacted by our governor that gives communities that are overburdened by environmental pollutants like power plants and brownfields the opportunity to get protection, because it seems as though the state and many businesses that are dirty want to just stick these dirty businesses in low-income communities of color. They do it again and again. So right now, it's just a policy. At the state house, I want to make that have teeth and to protect the families that live in abhorrently high air-polluted communities. That is what I'm going to do. That's going to protect future communities and future people from being able to deal with, being able to win against these big dirty polluters. I'm doing a lot at the city council level to, and as a citizen, to stop the gas-fired power plant. And I did that, and I will do that by following the bureaucratic process that's set out by the legislature for the permitting of these gas-fired power plants. Citizens have a right to take a part in these permitting processes, and that's what I've done every single step of the way. Thank you.
John, as a state representative, what action can you take to stop the power plant?
We have to go a different route. We have to push the DEP to enforce their own regulations. By me saying that, I'm referring to the actual border that exists between West Bridgewater and Brockton. If the paper line border didn't exist, that plant, and for that matter, neither would the sewage treatment plant be allowed, because it's in West Bridgewater's aquifer protection zone, which prevents anything like that in the 2,000-foot radius of a well. That's where we have to go. We have to enforce DEP's rules and regulations that would permit the boundary to go further over the border. That being said, the town of West Bridgewater, receives our water from that portion of the town. And we're, by the way, we're the only city in the town in the area that doesn't chlorinate our water, which indicates the quality of our water. So I would fight with DEP to fight that their rules are enforced, eliminating the border that exists and go around their boundaries of the aquifer protection zone. That's the route that we have to take. Obviously, the litigation isn't working. I mean, there's some things that have been issued, court orders, decrees, comments that were made by some elected officials that have put some of the plaintiffs in jeopardizing positions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other follow-up questions here? Kevin Tachi?
Brockton is currently discussing the possibility of purchasing a water desalination plant in Dighton. If it gets the necessary approval from the city council, would you, as the next legislator in that seat, support a home rule petition for the city to own said plant? John?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think the city should be in the business of buying another plant for the purpose of water, which in the long run would be also could work in conjunction with the proposed power plant. I think it's just an effort on the administration's side to increase the amount of water that's available to the city for cooling of the power.
Even if it comes,
it's an end run around, in my opinion.
Okay. Even if it comes out of savings to the city?
I don't think it'll come to a savings of the city. First of all, the plant that exists right now, the desalinization plant that exists, is 8 or 9 years old. It needs a lot of upgrades. It needs a lot of equipment replacement and repair costs as well. I don't think that the bottom line, I think at the end of the day, that is not the route for the city of Brockton to take.
Shell, same question.
Well, not only have I, as a city councilor, I plan on voting no on the $88 million boondoggle to purchase the desal plant. I really see this as another attempt by connected people to buy people out of their liability. Because if the city owns that plant, we're on the hook for any type of tear down, any type of upgrades, operations of the plant. Right now, Brockton, like I just said at the beginning of this interview and debate, Brockton sent out a $100,000 water bill to a single mother of three children. We obviously, the city, cannot manage its current water system. The idea that we're going to spend $88 million to triple their capacity when they're having problems dealing with what we have to deal with right now, it is totally irresponsible. So not only will I vote against it as a city councilor, I will fight against it as a state representative.
So as just a follow-up here, how many years, do you both know how many years are left on that contract? 14, right? And what does it cost right now, what's it cost the city right now per year?
I believe it's $4 to $5 million.
It's $6.5 million right now.
And that's supposed to go up, right?
It's supposed to go up. It will, over the next 14 years, this is what they're proposing. They're proposing a refinancing scheme. Mm-hmm. So they will take the amount of money that's owned on our debt over 14 years, and they want to push it out to 20 or 30 years. I don't want to push that debt out onto younger people. This decision was made by Mayor Jack Units to do this desal plant more than 10 years ago. I don't think it's wise to be pushing it out more decades.
But isn't this something that the state, it was state mandated that you had to find a second source of water? So it's you're going to have some second source of water, whether you purchase it or you rent it, right?
Well, back then, MWRA was an option. As I understand it, would have cost $6 million for the city to build the pipe and tap into that, and we'd be paying $0 right now. And the city was convinced that this desal plant scheme was going to be a better idea. And in the end, it went from do this, it's going to be free because we're going to find a private investor to build the desal plant, to the city council approved that, and then it switched. They couldn't get financing, and then for some silly reason, the city council pledged its full faith and credit behind this project.
John, do you want to follow up on what I just asked the councilor?
Well, actually, I mean, obviously, it's got to be looked at in the big picture of things here. I mean, yeah, the city of Brockton's had this ongoing water issue since back, as far as I can remember, late 80s,
1990s,
early 90s.
Right.
But what they did in the meantime...
in the 1890s.
Yeah, that's why they use the Silver Lakes water.
But what they've done in the meantime is that they've corrected a lot of leaks that exist in the city, and now they're at the point where they're actually conserving water to a point where they don't need to buy any more water. Unfortunately, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I mean, unfortunately, that's not what they looked at back then. The issue with the city is something that the city will have to work with the state legislature to come to some terms to mitigate the damage that's with the long-term plan that they have. But I don't agree with the city purchasing the water plant.
Christine, you know I have a follow-up.
I know you do. That's why I'm looking at you, Charles. Follow-up okay. question.
There's a water fight developing amongst the developer of Southfield and the three towns at the air base, Brockton, which always needs more water, and the Silver Lake towns that are really saying, no, we're not giving up any more water. Pembroke is the sole source for Abington, and some of the Silver Lake water has been, the Silver Lake system, comes from many ponds, not just Silver Lake, has been sold in the past to other towns by Brockton. Tom Coulter represents in the State House three of the Silver Lake towns. How are you going to deal with him when Brockton wants more water and Southfield wants more water and he says, don't look here? John?
I don't have the answer on that question right now, Charles. I mean, that's something when I get into office, I'll be a little bit more informed, and I can make a decision at that time, but that's something I'm not familiar with, the water needs of Southfield. I'm concerned about the 10th Plymouth District right now, which is West Bridgewater, East Bridgewater, and a third of the city of Brockton.
Right, so that third of the city of Brockton
yep.
needs more water, and if efforts to stop the
They
power
don't need
plant,
more water, Charles. I don't know. The fact is that they're not using any water. They're paying for the right to that they can have the ability to purchase water. They're not using any water.
Right.
They're not using any additional water.
If the attempt to stop the power plant fails, then Brockton will need a lot more water to cool the plant.
Well, I believe that they were talking about using the
effluent water from the treatment plant. It wouldn't be water from the plant.
I can clarify a lot of this. Yeah. So the Energy Facility Siting Board put down a decree that they cannot use drinkable, potable water in the cooling towers. What I think should happen is I think that Brockton, I've already directed the Water Commission as a city councilor to look into wheeling water to the air base that they're going to be redeveloping for residential purposes. We can then supply human beings with drinkable water, which is what drinkable water is meant to do, and we are able to bring in some revenue for the city. Those talks are happening, but it's very difficult because there are inter-basin transfers that need to be got. I'm very close with the Taunton River Watershed Alliance and the Monponset Watershed Alliance, and Pine Dubois, who I'm not related to, is the head of that. I've gone down to meet with her on several occasions, and I am very aware of the issues that Representative Coulter is talking about. Brockton has access and rights to the Silver Lake that date back to the 1890s. There's no way as a city councilor or as a state representative I would ever give up any of those rights. If there's a reason that Brockton has those rights, it's because we take on a lot of the population. We can't move everybody down to the water source, so we cannot give up those rights. However, we can manage it better, and that is something that I will force the city to do at the State House.
Okay. Any more water questions?
No, we're
Okay. You don't. All right, I'm going to switch topics here, real. And this was a question I asked at two of the forums last week, because this is something, this is something that I'm not completely separated from. In fact, they operate out of this building. It's TIC, the Talking Information Center, here in Marshfield, over 35 years old. It's a lifeline to the blind and print disabled. It's a radio reading service, been voted the best in the country. Ron Bersani, who you probably know, he is the force behind Melanie's Law. He's the executive director. They are facing a major cut in their funding. And this, to put it mildly, would put them out of business within 2 years. Now, a lot of the listeners are in your area. They're in Brockton. They're elderly. They're alone. They don't have smartphones. They don't have computers. They are listening to TIC, which provides anything that a sighted person would see. They have it through special receivers. They can hear it on secondary audio on a number of other stations. Would you support this in the State House? This has been supported very heartily by the whole South Shore delegation, and I'll say I'm on the board of directors, so is Ed Perry, who owns the station, so is Dave Skill, is another volunteer reader here. We've been all volunteers for over 25 years. For every dollar that the state has, although they're getting federal funding now, they're cutting it back to the state. For every dollar that the state provides them, since it's mostly run by volunteers, they probably get back $3 to $4 in services. So it's a good business decision as well as a good humanitarian decision. So that's my spiel here, and I'm hoping that I can say publicly that I'm going to get support for both of you to continue the service. John Cruz, do you think it's a good idea?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, if it helps our most vulnerable citizens, that's a plus. I mean, obviously we have to take care of the people that do need our assistance. That's what government's all about, and I would be supportive.
Okay. What about you, Michelle?
Of course. So I care about vulnerable populations, and anything that makes people more connected to the community, as this service obviously does, it is something I would support.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go over to Kevin Tachi now. Question for our candidates.
What would you say is the bigger issue in your district? Jobs, lack of local aid for education, funding for police and fire, or economic development? Now, the follow-up to that, whatever you give an answer to, what would be your plan to seek additional assistance from the state in that area or those areas? Michelle.
Education and workforce development, I see, go hand in hand. Education for children, so they are prepared to have the jobs that are going to be available to them as they're adults and be able to be self-sustaining members of society. And workforce development is more or less education for adults for the jobs of the day that we really need to focus on.
I think local aid is important, vitally important. I mean, the state has cut local aid approximately $600 million in the past 7 years. And what that does, it just limits the services that our local police, fire, educators, the tools that they need.
So local aid in general?
Yeah, local aid is very important.
Okay. Charles Mathewson?
At the risk of sparking some sibling rivalry here, I spent a lot of time in court. As a reporter.
As a defender?
By the way, yeah.
Good one.
And I see a lot of bail revocation and a lot of cuffs coming out and people going to prison. Do you think we have too many people in prison in Massachusetts, John? And you know why this might spark some sibling rivalry?
Look it. In my opinion, you can't be tough enough on crime. If the person commits the crime, they're responsible to do the time. If they're an adult, they have to be prosecuted properly and to the fullest extent of the law, in my opinion. That being said, I think the people that are behind bars deserve to be behind bars. And I think that, for instance, I think releasing some of the minimum mandatories that I know some of the judges are thinking about or discussing now, I think it's a wrong example. They want to lessen the population of the jails. But I mean, you have to keep the criminals behind bars. It's just plain and simple. Look at the crime rate. We've already had 12 murders in the city of Brockton this year. What are we going to do? I mean, there's been enough criminals released because of the faulty drug lab scandal. I mean, what are you supposed to do? If the person commits the crime, they do the time, period. I don't have any leniency toward that, because I know if my house is broken into or someone in my family was affected by a crime, I'd want that person to do the crime, to do the time.
Okay, no angry calls from your brother.
I'm sure he's listening.
Michelle, do we have too many people in jail, in prisons?
Yes. So Brockton, I mean, I come from Brockton. I live in Brockton. And It costs the state $48,000 a year to put someone in prison. This is how I believe it should be run. If someone is a threat to themselves or to someone else, if they have shown violent tendencies, if they have illegal guns, drug dealers, murderers, rapists, domestic violence abusers, they all should go to prison. If you are hurting someone, but if it's a nonviolent crime and we can tackle that problem and have a behavioral adjustment that will keep that person active in the community, being able to hold down a job, support their families, because this is what happens. If we just have all these mandatory minimum sentences and we send everybody off to jail, it's great if you live in Newton or Wellesley where the people that are going to jail aren't coming from. But what happens is all these people come right back to Brockton. They come right back to the 10th Plymouth District. And then they can't get a job because they have an arrest record and they are even in prison. It's very difficult. So I say, listen, I have law enforcement in my family. I believe that keeping people safe is the number one priority. But it's gone overboard here in Massachusetts, and people are certainly being incarcerated for blue-collar crimes at a much higher level than white-collar crimes, and that's a real problem.
John, I can see you want to.
Just what we need to do. Let the criminals back on the streets. I mean, let's be real. I mean, if someone's committed a crime, they deserve to pay the time, period, plain and simple. I mean, they've got adequate counsel to defend them. Let's just keep them behind bars where they belong. I mean, the recidivism rate in Massachusetts is high. That should indicate the problem that the crime repeats itself. They repeat the crime.
Recidivism is high, except in drug court, which Brockton is about to.
Which
get
I supported. I supported drug court. I wrote a letter of support for the drug court. Drug court people still go to prison. Mm-hmm. If you don't do what the judge says and straighten yourself up, you do go to prison.
John, do you agree with drug court?
It's not the end of the problem. I mean, the problem is if they commit the crime, if they break into the neighbor's house to continue their drug problem, then they deserve to do the crime. They do the time. I mean, it's not the answer to the problem. It's just a piece of the puzzle.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Kevin Tachi.
This question will start with John. One of the reasons that you've previously given for seeking this office is the relationships that you still hold up on Beacon Hill, especially the one that you have with Speaker Rob DeLeo. It's been suspected that DeLeo is on the cusp of being the fourth speaker to have legal issues while serving in that capacity. If there's no push to change the House leadership, now if there is a push to change the House leadership, do you remain loyal to the current speaker or do you vote for a new House leader?
Kevin, I never said that I was, I know Speaker DeLeo. That's how, I mean, I served, I was with him in the temporary office space for 3 months. I know Speaker DeLeo, and I said that if I needed something to my assistance for the district, I could go right to the Speaker's ear to get my issue heard in front of the Speaker himself. Right. I mean, that being said, I mean, first of all, I wouldn't support Speaker DeLeo as Speaker anyways. I'd support my minority leader, Brad Jones. Okay. So, I mean, that's the answer to your question. I mean, I would support Brad Jones as the minority leader. Okay. I mean, there's enough going on at Beacon Hill. I think a change of leadership might not hurt the climate up there.
Okay. Questions from Michelle. A key to being an effective lawmaker is the ability to work well with others to get support for bills and amendments that might be worked on. It's known that in the past that you have had a couple of issues with some of your colleagues on the council. You've been there for 5 terms. How have you learned from these situations to better prepare yourself for this office?
I'll tell you what, every single one of my colleagues supports me in this race. I've gotten the endorsement of the city council president. I've gotten the endorsement of 80% of the city councils that are currently sitting. And the two that haven't publicly endorsed me have family relations to my opponent. One of their employees works for his brother.
The question is, everybody has disagreements. How have you learned from those disagreements to be able to help yourself work across the aisle?
I think it's built respect, to be honest with you. When people, if I wanted to just not really fight for residents, I could stay at home with my family and watch TV. If I see an injustice being done, my number one priority is to get my fellow representatives on board with me to fix the problem. That's what I've done in the past to fix the water billing issue. That's what I've done to stop with efforts to stop the power plant. That's what I've done with efforts to make sure that residential tax rates don't bear the burden of all the infrastructure costs in the city. I've been able to work across party lines. well, city council lines. And so I'm going to do that at the State House. I have the support of the whole Brockton delegation. I've recently worked with Representative Deal, who's a Republican, to get money appropriated for a problem we're having in Ward 6, $1.5 million. So it will be no problem for me. As a matter of fact, I have 9 years of experience. It's actually a lot of fun.
I just have a quick question. I mean, why don't you ask the question that you asked me about leadership? Ask who the speaker is at the event that she's having tomorrow night.
Who is the speaker?
Is that your question? Do I get to give you a question?
Well, no, I'm just asking.
No, but you know what?
You asked me the question about if I would support the same speaker for
that's good.
For the leadership position.
Save it for when you have a question, because there is going to be a portion.
Right, when you can ask her a question.
The question you asked me should have been the same to the...
No, because it was tailored to you.
All right.
Charles?
Plymouth County. This is the Dan Pallotta question, who's a Republican, by the way. Plymouth County filed 6 bills in the last session. 2 passed. The state will pay the full cost of renting the 3 courthouses still owned by the county, and a bill that freed the county from the $6 million in retirement money for people that are no longer in the county employ. There are 4 other bills that the county plans to refile. That one of you will be dealing with in the next session. One establishes a rainy day account. 2 increases, 2 of them increase the deeds excise tax that the state took 90% of abruptly during the Romney administration. And the last one would create the ability to bond to cover unfunded liability. Would you support those bills in the next session, Mr. Friend of Dan Pallotta?
Here you go again, Charles. I'm not supportive of raising any taxes. I mean, the excise taxes.
It's not raising the tax. It's realotting the distribution. The tax stays the same.
Giving the fair share back.
But it's giving the county, the registry of deeds, back the money that it's already collecting.
That they're already collecting?
Yeah.
I'd have to do a little bit more research on the bills. I'm not that familiar with them at this point.
Okay. Michelle?
I have to tell you, I would need to do more research on those bills, but my first inclination is I really am against bonding out debt. Unpaid liability. I would have to look into that much more closely, but those are my answers for right now. I can follow up and tell you how I feel after I study them a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. Want to go to lightning round?
Let me ask one more question.
Okay.
One main concern of voters is constituent services. They hear back from an elected official when they are seeking help with various issues. If elected, what guarantee can you give residents in your district that they will have easy access to you or your office? Michelle.
You know, what's so great is one of my favorite parts of being a city councilor is constituent services. That's what got me embroiled in the faulty water billing scandal that I was able to correct. When I hear from the people on the ground and learn the problems that they're having and I'm able to help them, that's the whole reason that I'm running for this state representative job. And what I'm most excited about is the fact that I'm going to have an assistant to do it. Up until now, it's been my husband answering the phone. I have no office as a city council. You have no office. It's out of your house. So it's either me answering my cell phone or my husband answering the home phone, and he's my little aide. But at the State House, I will have a full-time person that I will dedicate to constituent services and grant discovery so we can get more money into the local districts through grants funding. So I'm really excited about it. It's great.
Same question to you, John.
That's a good question, because as I was knocking on Ward 6, one of the voters was describing a stop sign issue that they needed, and how my friend to my right completely ignored the stop sign issue for a year and a half.
Where is it?
That being said...
Let him finish, then you can go back to you.
That being said, when I was a state representative, I would have, because I was Republican, I would have the other 2 Democratic reps have their constituent services go through my office. We were tops in terms of taking care of constituents' needs. If it's a matter of calling the Department of Revenue or Department of Labor or whatever for an assistance, that's what we were good at, and that's what I continue with when I get reelected. I mean, that's what it's all about. They're the ones that, who else do they call? They call the state rep if there is an issue with the bunch of state agencies that exist. That's what they want. They want a direct contact, and that's where we worked in conjunction with the vote with our constituents.
I'm going to go to you now, Michelle. Since he did mention you, what You had a question. You want to know where it was?
No, actually, I'd just like to talk to that point. I've been reelected 5 times overwhelmingly in Ward 6, and I get reelected not because I'm part of any type of old boy network. It's because of my being on the street with the residents. I'm not part of a political dynasty. It's not a family relation. It's me out on the street helping residents. So I've been reelected 5 times based on my constituent services. My opponent had the seat of state representative and did not keep that seat and hasn't been able to regain it. So maybe his constituent services weren't as good as he's saying
they
are.
We're going to go to lightning round. Then you're going to get a chance to ask each other some questions because I know you're
back to that
30 seconds.
I mean, obviously being a Republican outnumbered 7-1 Democrats to Republicans doesn't matter to be the reelection. The point is I'm on the ballot this time and that will change come November 4th.
Okay. Lightning round question, Kevin Tonchi.
Pick one of the 4 questions on the ballot. Automatic gas tax, expanded bottle bill, repeal casino gaming, or earn sick time. Tell us how you will vote, yes or no, and give a sentence as to why. John.
I'm going to vote yes on 1 because I feel it's another unnecessary tax, an unneeded tax, and let the legislators do their job if they need more money for the roads.
Okay, same question, Michelle.
I'm voting to support earn sick time. I think it's very important for hardworking families. I'm a working families candidate, so it's very important
just
for them
sentences.
To have earned sick time.
Okay, Charles Mathewson.
What committee assignment would you most like to have, John?
The committee that I was on previously, Housing and Urban Development, well, the Executive Office of Communities and Development, which would take care of the seniors in my district, which I'm the vice chair of my local housing authority.
Okay. Michelle, same question.
I'm going to ask to be on the Veterans Joint Committee. That's the committee I want to be on.
Okay. County government, keep it or abolish it? 2 sentences. Michelle.
I want to keep it.
Okay.
Keep
John
it.
Cruz,
keep it. Yeah.
Okay. Any more lightning?
Yeah. Sure. Pro-choice, pro-life.
Michelle.
I'm pro-choice.
I'm pro-life.
I have a follow-up on that.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Just lightning round. Charles.
People should check out
the
website.
Okay. The expanded bottle bill. Are you going to vote yes or no, Michelle?
I'm going to vote yes.
I'm going to vote no.
Okay.
Do I get 2 sentences on that?
No, it's a yes or no.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. Elected official, past or present, that you look to as a role model?
Ronald Reagan.
Michelle.
Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's a real fighter for the people.
Okay, sure.
Regarding the casino bill and Suffolk Downs, if Suffolk Downs closes, should the legislature help out those employees? Michelle?
2 sentences.
Yes, I believe in workforce development. It's a critical issue. There are so many jobs out there that our population of workers just don't have the training for.
Okay.
So I'm really going to fight for workforce development.
Same question.
Yeah.
John Cruz?
Yes, you have to help the people that lose their job through no fault of their own.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a chance to ask each other questions because I know you're dying to do this. Let's start with you, Michelle. Question for John Cruz. And try to keep your answers to a minute.
Great. So, John, it seems as though when it's pretty typical for Republicans in this type of a seat to agree that you want to help people that are hearing impaired, you want to help people with workforce development that lose their jobs, and you want to do all these things, but then on the other side you're saying you want to cut taxes. So it really sounds like you're more maybe not being honest with the people. How are you going to do all these things? Because it seems like you're not really being so truthful.
Obviously, you haven't read the facts. I mean, government has a spending problem. That's the problem. They have a spending problem. As you know, when I was a state rep...
But you want to spend more on all these services.
As you know, when I was a state rep 22 years ago, we had a 6 million people population in the state with a $9.7 billion budget. Fast forward to today, 6.5 million people, a 10% increase, but the budget's quadrupled. How do you explain that? I can explain it easily by excessive spending and going beyond the means. That's one of the questions that I want to that's one of the issues that I want to do. We have to cap spending, like local towns have to cap income by property taxes. So we have to cap the spending and just prioritize. It's as simple as that. If you prioritize, if you take the time to go over the fiscal years previous to this, you'll understand where the wasted dollars is. For instance, EBT. I mean, I'm not opposed to the EBT reform, unlike you. I mean, that's something that we have to reform.
You don't know that.
Wait a minute, let him finish. We have to look at every year. We can't continue to go back to the taxpayers like you've done to Brockton. You've increased the property taxes, you've increased the meals taxes, and you're opposed to question 1 on the ballot.
Meals tax is great.
Okay.
You said it.
Your question now for Michelle Dubois.
Well, I guess I kind of alluded to it during my answer to Michelle. It says, how can you say that you are for the working family when you support additional taxes, such as the automatic gas tax, which also is the heating bill tax, and the bottle bill? How can you say you're for working class families if you're for tax increases and that you just admitted to?
Well, government has a role to play in society, and I believe that that role is making sure that everyone is treated fairly, that our roads and infrastructure and our public safeties are funded appropriately, and these all play a part in that. I think the average person, when I'm knocking on doors, it's, you know, it's sexy and easy to say, don't raise my taxes. But when we talk about where this money would go to with the tax on the gas, and how the bottle bill will not only clean up our waste stream in our neighborhoods, but also you can get that funds back just by redeeming your bottles. It will be a boon for Brockton. Brockton has redemption centers. It's going to have a job creation effect in our district that we both live in. And our fellow human beings who live in our district and aren't wealthy and didn't inherit a business can get a job and maybe start their own business. So it's actually a workforce development. So I'm proud of my stance on the restaurant tax and the meals tax. What that does is that is alleviated $3 million in taxation for working families. That tax is taken out of the stream that we have to put over to our businesses and our single-family homes. Thank you very much.
You. All right, okay, one more quick question for each other with a 30-second answer. Let's start with Michelle asked John Cruz a question.
I started the last time.
Well, I'm giving you a chance to do it again.
Okay, I will take it again.
Okay.
So, John, you've run six times in these last 22 years for this seat. You've run in 2010, 2012, 2014. What has changed that causes you to think that now the voters are going to support your positions when they haven't in the past?
30 seconds.
Can you list those dates again? Because you're wrong, Michelle. Just like a lot of
1990.
Yeah.
I looked on the Secretary of State's website. 1992, 1994, 2010, 2012, 2014.
2012, huh?
That's what it said.
Okay.
Maybe he has an error on his website.
Blame somebody else, just like that you blame people for your mistakes and for your tax increases.
No, make mistakes.
The reason
okay, 30 seconds from now. Go ahead.
I don't need this job. I want it. I want it for the people of 10th Plymouth District. The problem is right now is that we have too many lifelong career legislators up there. That's what we're talking about. If the person to the right of me gets elected, that's what you're looking at, a lifetime politician. I'm making a commitment right now that I'll serve no more than three terms. That's it. If my opponent can make the same, then we can discuss this further. But the reason that I'm running is for the people that live in the 10th Plymouth District. I feel their needs. I see what's going on. I run a business. I feel the pains just as they do.
Okay. Question for Michelle.
Oh, let's get back to the earlier question. Like tomorrow, look, when Kevin asked me about the who I would vote for leadership and all the problems that currently exist from Beacon Hill, most specifically Speaker DeLeo. You're having him tomorrow night at a fundraiser. Would you vote for Speaker DeLeo to be Speaker again for the next coming session?
30 seconds.
I believe I would. Of course, I'd have to look into it in more detail. I haven't been up to the State House working there, so I would have to look into it. But I think I would. I think he's done a pretty good job. And if there are illegalities, of course, he has to be held accountable. Like anyone, like you or your brother or my brother or your brother, Kevin, or yourself, have to be held accountable for our actions. And I proved that I would do that when I took on the head of the DPW when he was mistreating residents. I called him out for the actions. I've documented illegal bid splitting that I got fixed. I've documented illegal allocation of HUD monies that I reported to HUD and got
Five
fixed.
5 seconds.
So my need to make sure that I hold people accountable
okay.
is extreme
okay.
and true.
I get
that.
All right.
Let's go to closing statements now. We're going to flip the order. When we started, I believe we began with you, John Cruz. When we did the opening
yes.
statements, okay?
Yep.
So we're going to flip it, and this time we'll go to you for closing statements, and that's Michelle Dubois.
Thank you. I think that there has been some differences between myself and my Republican opponent brought to the fore. I am a working families candidate. I want to go to the State House to fight for you every single day. My whole background has been based in community development and making our community the best place it can be. I've worked at New England Shelter for Homeless Veterans, Pine Street Inn, Courageous Sailing Center, and now I work at South Coastal County's Legal Services, where we help low-income and senior citizens to get justice when they're being treated inappropriately. My goal at the city council level is to make sure that the residents of my district knew that, number one, they were my first priority. And that's what I'll do at the State House. I care about workforce development, funding for education, funding for public safety services. I've been endorsed by the Massachusetts Teachers Association, the AFL-CIO, the Brockton Firefighters, the BAPBUS drivers, SEIU Local 888, 1199, 509, Mass Alliance, Mass Equality, Coalition for Social Justice, the Sierra Club, Clean Water Action, and Mass Voters for Animals. These organizations chose me because I care about this community, and I am best positioned to make sure that our district gets its fair share at the State House. And that is my whole priority. I'm ready to do it. I'm excited about it. I'm going to work full-time as your state representative. If you would be so kind to have my back on November 4th and give me your vote, I will have your back every single day at the State House. So my name is Michelle Dubois, and I'm running to be your state representative. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Now let's go to closing statements. John Cruz.
Thank you once again, and thank you, Michelle, for coming here tonight. I believe the choice is clear in the upcoming election on November 4th. Experience matters. As a former state representative, I can hit the ground running on day one. I already have a proven way to work across party lines. For example, back in 1992, I filed a home rule petition which prevented 87 mobile home parks from being relocated. I worked with the Democratic Chairman Ray Jordan at the time of Housing and Urban Development, and we succeeded in getting our bill approved. I can work across party lines. And that's what this is all about. You have to be able to work with the people that are with you, Democrat, Republican, and that's why I'm running. I'm running to make things better for the people in the 10th Plymouth District. I've done it before, and I can do it again. My name is John Cruz. I'm a candidate for state representative. I look forward to serving come January of next year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was John Cruz. You've been listening to both candidates tonight for the 10th Plymouth District. Asking questions with me, Kevin Tachi, host of Monday Night Talk, and WATD reporter Charles Mathewson. This entire form will be up on our website tomorrow, 95.9WATD.com, and selected cuts during our morning drive news block. And of course, stay tuned to WATD for election night. We'll bring you complete coverage. We go on the air at 7 with our pregame show, and at 8, we've got all those reporters out in the field bringing you every exciting moment. We always remind people, we thank candidates for being here in studio with us. It's tough to run for office. And remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James here on 95.9 WATD.